This is the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We have assembled the world's finest sports and trivia dorks to prove once and for all that we are just as bad at this as we were at sports.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 251 of the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, sports trivia for those of us who rode the pine. I'm your host tonight, David, and today's game will feature the Benchwarmer team of Josh and Taco versus the team of Marcus and assistant coach for our Patreon team, Mark Grenier. Hi, Mark. Since it's been a few months since you've been on, I think, why don't you take a minute and let us know, I don't know, you don't have to go through where you're from and all that. Just tell us something new.
Something new is the South Carolina Gamecocks won the national championship today in women's basketball. My daughter is a freshman there, and she was at the official watch party today with in the student union building with like a couple hundred kids. So that was pretty cool getting pictures from her and videos and stuff. And then there's a tradition at South Carolina, apparently, when they win the national championship, which is fairly infrequent other than women's basketball, but all the students run out and jump into the fountain. That's a large fountain they have in front of the library by the student union building. So got a nice video of my daughter running from Russell House, which is the student union building where she watched the game, you know, like across the courtyard with all of her friends screaming and then jumping in the fountain. And she sent the photos to our like family group chat of her in the fountain doing the South Carolina Spurs up hand signals. So that was a cool day. So we're time stamping this a little bit by letting everybody know that's what happened today.
No, that's totally fine. It must be a big fountain, I'm assuming, right? Because
it's very large. Yes, it is very large. Okay. And if you go on you can go on South Carolina Gamecocks, I'm assuming your Instagram as well, but the Facebook page, they have like a pretty cool like drone shot of all the kids.
Okay.
And then they have some like a time lapse where they were counting down the last 5 seconds of the game before all these kids are like lined up around this fountain. Yeah, it's big. Like it's 100 feet by probably 80 feet square.
Nice. Nice.
With like many different, you know, like a few different water features, I guess you would say. So yeah, so that was pretty cool. So that's what's been going on. We got a foot of snow here the other day, which was not appreciated, especially trying to get outdoor track season started for my youngest daughter in high school. But yeah, we're rolling along here. So
very cool. All right. Well, Marcus, how you doing? And why don't you tell us what your team name is for you and Mark?
I'm doing well. I assume that without knowing exactly what I'm talking about, that all of us here acknowledge mommy. So just nod and say yes. And other than that, I'm doing well. And of course, it's WrestleMania weekend. So I had to think of basically, I do this to David every time he hosts. I try and think of a tag team or a group that's kind of obscure for our team name. So tonight, Mark and I, and it fits. I guess he can be Kurgan and I'll be Golga. We are the Oddities.
He does have a kind of Kurgan look to him. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, the Oddities. I love it. And Taco, Josh, who wants to go first? How are you doing?
I'm obviously much more removed from wrestling, paying attention. And that could be an old, I don't know. I don't know who either of those two are or the team, the Oddities. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm just excited to record another episode. And yeah, things are good here.
Very cool. And Taco, I guess that means you have the team name.
I do. I'm well. I'm having to go back to work tomorrow. I've been on spring break, so I'm not particularly looking forward to going back to work, but I will persevere nonetheless. For Josh and my team name tonight, since we are the two most prominent members of the Benchwarmers who have done stuff on national television, we're going to honor that. We're not going to worry about the results of those particular appearances on national television, but we're going to lump them into a larger, also, you know, prestigious group, and we will be the game show participants,
which could be a tag team. I mean, why not?
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So we have the Oddities against the game show participants. I think we're ready. So let's turn it over to Benchwarmer Meredith Dan to give us our rules.
The game will consist of four quarters of play, each with different trivia style. The styles of quarters 1 through 3 will change from show to show, and I will explain them as we go along. Like any good sporting event, we will have a halftime show after the second quarter with entertainment questions. And in the fourth quarter, our teams will wager from their points accumulated to see who are today's clipboard captains, to be honored like the true benchwarmers they are. All right, Let's get this game underway.
All right, today's first quarter will be pre- and post-game.
Pre- and post-game. For this quarter, there will be four before- and after-style questions. For example, if I said, what all-time leader in receptions for the Indianapolis Colts was a Notre Dame safety drafted by the Minnesota Vikings? The answer would be Marvin Harrison Smith. Each question is worth 25 points.
Question number one of pre- and post-game. Launched in 1993, ESPN2 was originally branded with this nickname, and until 2021, he was the Saints' all-time rushing yards leader.
We're ready to check in, David.
All right, the oddities have checked in. Game show participants, the floor is yours.
Okay, I hadn't even had time to process that question before they checked in.
Likewise.
I think I know what this is, because I think ESPN2 was originally the Deuce, right?
Sure.
Oh, and then so that would lead to, so let's check in with the Deuce McAllister.
Works for me.
Okay.
All right. And the oddities?
Yeah, same thing. I just remember it, I'm old. So 1993, I was in college. ESPN2 came out. It was the Deuce. And yeah, Deuce McAllister. Mason's favorite Saint ever? I don't know.
Definitely yeah, so mine.
The Deuce McAllister.
That is correct. It is the Deuce McAllister. It's one use of an article that I think Josh can get behind. All right. Question number two. Attended USC initially on a football scholarship, but went on to win the American League Rookie of the Year and MVP in 1975. And his teammate and roommate at USC, who himself went on to an NFL Hall of Fame career.
David will check in.
All right. Again, with the rapid check-in, the oddities have checked in. The game show participants, yours to talk about.
Thoughts on this one, Josh?
Trying to think. 75.
My thought... Two things that kind of fit that time frame and have a very clear word in the middle are Fred Lynn and Lynn Swan.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. That.
I don't know for sure on the years, but, and I don't know for sure that Fred Lynn went to USC, but.
I don't either, but that seems the right time frame for him. I like that.
Okay. Let's check in Fred Lynn Swan.
All right. And the oddities?
So Red Sox fan here, so maybe that's a little bit. An edge, but yeah, Fred Lynn, I think, is the only guy to ever win the MVP and Rookie of the Year. David, I'm sure, will tell us in the same season. So yeah, Fred Lynn and then, yeah, Lynn Swan. I did not know that either of them went to USC, frankly. I couldn't have told you where Lynn Swan went, but it certainly fit. So Fred Lynn Swan.
Yeah, so first of all, my only comment here is leave time for Marcus to rant about Lynn Swan being in the Hall of Fame. But before we get to that, yeah, Lynn Swan was part of the great USC teams in the early 70s. Fred Lynn was the first person to win the MVP and Rookie of the Year in the same year and was the only one for a very long time until, Marcus?
Ichiro.
That's right. Until Ichiro did it. Now, of course, that one's, I mean, it's not quite tainted, but he was a professional for a long time before he came to the majors, obviously. Fred Lynn was not quite the same, but still, on paper, the only two guys who've won the Rookie of the Year and the MVP in the same season.
I mean... He's the real hit king. Let's just say, let's call it like it is.
I got no problem with that, sure. All right. Let's go on to question number three. In a career that lasted from 1990 to 2007, he played for the Royals twice, the Orioles twice, the Marlins twice, won two World Series rings, homered in his only All-Star game at bat to win the All-Star MVP, and the uniform number that he wore for most of his career.
All right, we're checking in, David.
All right, the oddities have checked in again. Game show participants, give you a couple minutes.
I think we're pretty close. The first half feels, at least with the Royals twice, Marlins twice part,
yeah.
I don't remember him as much with the Orioles, but it, you know.
He was definitely there, so.
Yeah, is Jeff Conine. And then what to make of the second half?
I think 19 is the only thing it can
be. It's got to be the only one that makes sense, because like.
It can't be nine.
No,
because then it doesn't fulfill.
Right.
David is like me, a stickler on having two things, right?
Right. And I don't think Jeff Conine was wearing like 96 or something.
I don't think back in the time frame people were wearing crazy numbers usually.
No, unless it was like Turk Wendell in 99, but that's
I don't think so. Yeah. So Jeff Conine.
Yeah, that works.
All right, we'll check that in.
All right. And the oddities, what did you guys have?
Well, we had a very similar conversation because the teams for me immediately, I was like, well, that sounds like Jeff Conine. And then I was like, I thought he wore, I'm almost positive he wore nine at some point. And, but that doesn't fulfill the, you know, and Mark and I are just sitting here looking at it and going, is he trying to be sneaky, but not being successful at it? And then we were both just like, I guess it has to be 19. So we also checked in with Jeffco 19.
Both teams are receiving points. Yeah, there was nothing too terribly sneaky. I think he only wore 19 and 18. I don't think he wore nine, but okay, I'd have to go back and check. Yeah, I totally forgot. I remember that he won the All-Star Game MVP, but I didn't realize it was his only ever at-bat in the All-Star Game. He had one at-bat. He played in two All-Star Games. He had only one at-bat. He hit a home run. It was a go-ahead home run. I think it was the 95 All-Star Game and won the MVP. So there you go. All right, this last one's kind of long. Question number four. NFL North receiver who finished third in the NFL in receiving yards and tied for second in total receptions in 2023. And the school that this year almost made their first NCAA March Madness since 1986 when they had a 6-point lead with 27 seconds left in the conference final, only to lose to the team that would eventually go on to beat Auburn in the first round.
Check it in.
All right. Once again, the oddities have checked in first. It's going to be a pattern. Game show participants, time to talk it out.
Okay, so the second half's Brown.
So then it's going to be, I said, Amon Ross St. Brown University.
Yeah, let's do that.
You check that.
I like that. I like that David's like processing his own traumas through this podcast. It's a very healing and holistic experience. Let's check in Amon Ross St. Brown University.
All right, and the oddities.
Yeah, Amon Ross St. Brown. As soon as I saw the part about had a 6-point lead with 27 seconds left. Brown was like terrible in the Ivy League this year. I know they won like their last six or seven games or something like that to get into the Ivy final. I think they knocked off whoever the one seed was.
Princeton
earlier. Was it Princeton? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we checked in with Amon-Ra St. Brown Bears. I wasn't sure exactly.
I'll accept that.
Brown University, yeah. Brown Bears.
Both work. I'd written university, but yeah, Brown Bears works. And yeah, you're right, Mark. I think they were in seventh or something. They won a 6-game winning streak. The Ivy League just started a tournament not that long ago, but it's only the top four that make it. So they went in as the 4 seed. They beat Princeton. They had Yale on the ropes, and they just choked. And yes, Taco, I am. Yeah, it was a very self-indulgent question / maybe, I don't know, cathartic to get it out in the form of a question. But
#yes. Too much Brown.
This is the men will start a sports trivia podcast instead of going to therapy.
Oh, Marcus, as soon as I said it, I knew you were going to chime in with something.
Man. Come at my teammate like that, Josh.
# too much Brown University.
Exactly. Got to be a little bit careful there. All right. So after the first quarter, we have two perfect games going. We have the game show participants with 100 and the oddities also with 100.
We wanted to let you know that we are on Patreon if you'd be interested in supporting us financially. Your contributions will be used to help us cover the costs that it takes to bring you the high quality sports trivia that you have come to expect from us. There are also some great perks that come with the Patreon membership to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, including bonus episodes and Benchwarmer swag. You can find us at patreon.com/benchwarmerstp. Thanks.
Today's second quarter is going to be Let It Ride or Throw in the Towel.
Let It Ride or Throw in the Towel. For this quarter, there will be 4 questions in a given category that increase in difficulty. After each question, teams can decide to let it ride and attempt the next question, or throw in the towel and take the points they have accumulated to that point. Each question is worth 50 points. If a team answers incorrectly, they will lose half of their points accumulated in the quarter.
All right. The theme of this Let It Ride, Throw in the Towel will be sports personalities who have the same name. That's first and last name. Okay? Same first and last name, not necessarily spelled the same way. So I'm going to give you a description of both of them, at least in some form, and you just have to give me the name. Nice and easy. All right. Question number one. Only person to win an NCAA football title as a player, NCAA football title as a coach, and Super Bowl title as a coach, and seven-time NASCAR Cup Series champion.
We can check in.
All right. The oddities have checked in again, right out of the gate. Game show participants, yours to talk out.
Jimmy Johnson. Yes?
Oh, yeah. That works. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was the first one's supposed to be real easy. And I was like, huh?
Yeah, it was the I was running through the wrong answers for NASCAR Cup Series champions in my head until I was like, oh, yeah, it's Jimmy Johnson. So check that in.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the oddities, what'd you guys have?
Jimmy Johnson.
All right. Both teams receiving points. So for question two, let's let a rider throw in the towel. So let's go to Mark first, since you're our guest. You going to go for it?
Of course.
Okay. I have to ask. It's part of the game. And game show participants? Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Well, what are we going to do? Just sit here? Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, you know, it's gambling all those fake points.
I dare you.
Perfect. All right. Question number two. Drafted in 1993, he had a 14-year NBA career playing for the Sonics, Nuggets, Bucks, and Timberwolves, and just missed overlapping his career with his namesake, an NBA legend.
We will check in.
The game show participants have checked in. So the oddities, it's your time to talk it out.
Oh,
for the first
my
time.
Gosh. Okay. Thank you for indulging me. I know Vin Baker was in that draft. That's one thing I do know for sure. Who played for the Sonics and the Bucks. Not drafted by the Sonics, though.
He's not the namesake of an NBA legend, though.
No, but I forgot about that part of the question. I was just looking at 14 years. I'm looking at the teams. There's one very prominent Sonic legend that has the same name as an NBA legend. And he wasn't Magic. It's Irvin Johnson.
Irvin Johnson. Okay.
Yeah. He played center. He was terrible.
I almost threw that out as just being like, I'm trying to think of NBA legends who retired like around 1992. And I'm like, well, yeah. It's not Magic Johnson. It's not Larry.
No, it certainly is. He was number 50. Yeah, he was bad. That's why the Sonics, you know, when they lost when they were the one seed, it was because Dikembe Mutombo absolutely punked out Irvin Johnson. So, yeah, we'll check in with Irvin Johnson.
All right. And the game show participants, what'd you guys have?
Yeah, I went at it from the second half of just, I'm going to think of NBA legends until one of them clicks that there was a second guy that had that name. And yeah, the timeline fit of, you know, Magic retired 92, 93, and Irvin Johnson is a name. I didn't know anything else about him other than I knew there was a guy, but that's what we checked in with, Irvin Johnson.
Both teams are receiving points. Well done. Well done. Yeah, he was a guy. That's a good way to describe him. He was sort of nondescript. He came out of University of New Orleans. Everyone was just like, who's this Irvin Johnson guy? Magic had retired. I mean, obviously all of a sudden, but I think it was late 91, but then he came back to play in the All-Star game, but he was pretty much gone by 93, although he obviously played in Barcelona. So, all right, let's go to the game show participants first. Would you like to let it ride or throw in the towel?
Yeah, we'll let it ride.
All right. Mark, what would you like to do? Since you're our guest.
I assume we're going to go Marcus, right? Like,
yeah, what are we talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just confirming.
All right. Question number three. Part of a Dodgers infield that played together for 8.5 years, along with Steve Garvey, Davey Lopes, and Ron Say, and was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 1975, even though he was coach of the Seattle Supersonics at the time.
We will check in.
All right. Game show participants has checked in. The oddities. You have about a minute to talk this out.
What do you want to talk about, Marcus?
Oh.
Old Dodgers infielders. I don't know. I messaged you earlier. Like I didn't watch the National League when I was a kid. You know, I wasn't on TV. I watched the Red Sox on Channel 38. There were no national games really on. I was trying to go through my Rolodex of like early 80s Topps baseball cards, just trying to think of guys. I think it's the shortstop, I think.
Do you have any idea? You just can't pull the name?
No, not really. I'm just trying to, like, Gary Templeton played infield back then. He was on the Padres later on. I don't know. I think he played shortstop. Because Steve Garvey played first. Ron Say played third. And David Lopes, I'm pretty sure, played second. But I was hoping you could think of, like, a Sonics coach.
Okay, so Lenny Wilkins, I know he coached them for a while, he left, and then he came back and then won the championship.
Yep.
And I have to think this was in between then. I know Bill Russell coached them for a minute, but that's like the extent of my like older.
Yeah, I mean, none of those are ringing a bell as an infielder, but that also doesn't mean anything. Like, I just might not know that there was a guy named
There's a shortstop named Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just might not know that. I
just don't know the years, honestly. Like, I feel like it's right there. Like, but I don't know for sure who was the coach at the time.
Well, Lenny Wilkins, I think, is probably as good a guess as we're going to have. He was a coach of the Sonics in the 70s. Twice.
Okay. Apparently. Twice so, in the 70s. Yeah. Like, so
I don't have anything else.
Okay. All right. We'll check in with Lenny Wilkins.
All right. And game show participants.
Well, the name that we checked in with got mentioned by the other team, but was not Lenny Wilkins. The one tie I had to this was there was a Dodgers manager in the late 90s named Bill Russell. I don't know if it's the same Bill Russell that was in the infield with Garvey, Lopes, and Ron Say, but at the very least, that's a guy on the Dodgers who, you know, MLB teams tend to bring back their old players at times to manage. And then Josh came through with, didn't Bill Russell coach the Sonics after the Celtics? And those two things together were good enough for us to check in. So we checked in with Bill Russell.
One team is receiving their points. The answer is Bill Russell. Mark, I was doing a reach back to the 70s thinking, as soon as you said you only watched the American League, I felt bad because they actually have the record for playing, I think it's like the most number of games in a row as an infield. I know they played 8.5 seasons, which is completely unheard of now to play 8.5 seasons as an entire infield together. But yes, it was or is Bill Russell. That is correct. And yeah, he was. Oh, Marcus, you were right there. You were right there. He was the coach in 75, and that's right when he was inducted. I think Lenny Wilkins must have been inducted way after that. But I can't remember when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame, but it must have been way after, I think. All right. Well, we have one team who has a decision to make. Game show participants, would you like to let it ride or throw in the towel?
So just real quick, if we get it wrong, we'll still be up 25 points.
Right.
Because they drop down to 150. We're at 250. We can either gain another 50 or lose 75.
That one got a little dicey.
That one got very dicey.
And I don't know.
I'm fine if we just don't. And then he'll just tell us what the question is anyway. And then we can all talk it out together.
We can all talk it out together. That's fine with me. Let's make the smart business decision rather than
and the thing that David, than,
right.
David, we're gonna throw in the towel.
And the funny thing is, I think this one would have been easier for at least for Taco and for Marcus. I don't know about Josh, and I don't know how much Mark pays attention to the NBA, but here would have been question number four. Both drafted in 2022. These two players with the same name are both on the same.
Got it.
The same NBA roster, and that has already clinched a playoff spot this year. And the answer is
Jalen Williams. I actually know that one.
Well, there you go.
I know that is because I've recently gotten myself addicted to sports cards again, and I've been buying a lot of more recent basketball cards.
Nice
to find good. Victor Wembanyama cards.
Well, this is why it's hard to gauge sometimes how hard questions are going to be. Because to me, it's like two guys who only a real hardcore current NBA fan would know versus Hall of Famers, you know, the Bill Russell level. But anyway, all right. Well, at the end of the second quarter, we have scores of the game show participants is out to a lead with 250 points, and the Oddities are still within striking distance at 150 points. It's now time for halftime.
It is now time for the halftime show. There will be three entertainment questions pertaining to sports, with each question worth 25 points.
All right, so this halftime is going to be all about top football draft picks that crossed over into entertainment and is going to be, I'm going to do this CV style. So question number one, chosen number one overall in the AFL draft and number 12 overall in the same year's NFL draft, played 13 years in the NFL/AFL, one-time Super Bowl champion, played himself in several shows, including Married with Children, The Love Boat, Alf, and my personal favorite, The Brady Bunch. Dated Jill St. John, Raquel Welch, and Janis Joplin.
We can check in.
All right. The oddities have checked in almost immediately. Game show participants scratching their heads.
Yeah, there's a lot of pop culture touchstones that are not my pop culture touchstones.
I mean, I've watched all those shows, but, you know, to pick out a cameo in each of those.
Right.
Oh, this be Joe Namath? I could easily see him having been guesting on those things, because he was, I'm assuming he was drafted in both drafts.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't have an incredibly long career, right?
No. And, you know, the one-time Super Bowl champion fits.
Right.
I like it. I don't have anything better.
It's the only one that came to mind, and he's been on a bunch. He's done a bunch of that cameo type things over the years.
Sure.
So I say we go with Joe Namath. Yeah.
Let's do it. Check it in.
All right.
All right. Game show participants has checked in. So we go to the oddities. What you guys have?
Not mentioned Susie Colbert on the sideline.
I didn't want to kiss you.
I don't think they dated.
I remember.
You tried to.
Yeah, he tried.
He's the only guy, frankly, from, I think I've seen every Brady Bunch episode. The only athlete, most prominent athlete I remember was Joe Namath. Being on that show, everything else seemed to fit. So, yeah, we also checked in with Joe Namath.
And that is correct. And you might remember, if you're a Brady Bunch fan, that Cindy wrote a fake letter that Bobby Brady was very, very sick in order to get Joe Namath, who then was a fairly new Ram, having just left the Jets. So he was in L.A., so he was very popular. And there were some other athletes who were on the Brady Bunch, but I'll save those for other questions for another time. Yeah. All right. Question number two. Chosen number one overall in the NFL draft in 1973 by the Houston Oilers. Two-time Super Bowl champion. Appeared in television series such as Perfect Strangers, MASH, The Dukes of Hazzard, Silver Spoons, The A-Team, and Miami Vice. And endured 5 hours of makeup each day to play his most famous movie role in a 1985 film, and even wore a Raiders jersey.
We'll check in.
All right, game show participants has checked in. The oddities. This is for you.
The other guy. It's the other guy. Not Chunk.
Yeah, not Baby Chunk.
Ruth. What's his name?
That would have been crazy if he was playing for the Raiders.
That's true.
Oh my gosh, he's a Raider. He's he played Sloth. It's John. Oh God.
I can't even help you. Number one overall. So what position did he play? We don't know him.
Matusak. John Matusak.
Matusak. Okay. Yep. Yep.
We're checking that in.
All right. And game show participants, what'd you have?
Yeah, pretty quick. Matt sent over that Sloth in the Goonies, and he's like, no idea what his name is, though. And that's when I was telling him, I know. And yeah, it's John Matusak.
Yes, and it is Sloth from the Goonies. Well done, everybody. I'm glad some of you youngsters have seen the Goonies, so that is important. Otherwise, I would have assigned homework like I do to Mason all the time. All right, well done. good pull, everybody. Question three. Chosen number one overall in the NFL draft by the Baltimore Colts out of Michigan State. One-time Super Bowl champion. Appeared in television series such as Good Times, The Odd Couple, Taxi, and Married with Children. Played the same character in 6 of 7 movies in a 1980s movie franchise.
We'll check in.
Oh, no. Wow. Don't do that.
All right. Out of nowhere, the game show participants have checked in. The oddities, time to talk it out.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
I think you're on the right track. It's got to be a horror, you know, horror all those franchises. Horror movies. Yeah. But Robert Englund played Freddy. I can't remember who played Jason Voorhees, but he wasn't even the villain in the first one. But I guess it could have been the same guy. I know. Here's the stupid thing, Mark. I know that Kane Hodder played one of the, you know, iterations. I think he did Jason Voorhees in like 3 or 4 movies, which is stupid that I know the name of somebody who's not this person.
Did he go to Michigan State?
Did Kane Hodder go to Michigan State? I don't think so. And he definitely was like Jason in the later iterations of the franchise.
Yep.
Oh yeah, gosh. No. I was hoping for like a Merlin Olsen question.
Yeah, and I was like Alex Karras, Merlin Olsen, all these guys who are on TV.
Nnamdi Asamoah, Thomas Jones.
Not picked up number one overall, though.
none of them. Gosh.
I got nothing, really. They're trying to think of Michigan State guys who were drafted number one. I'm guessing by the Colts. Like, I'm guessing this is sometime in the 70s. And then played in the Super Bowl and then became an actor, you know, in the 80s. In these horror movies or whatever. I can't think of a seven movie.
That's what I was. That's why I was really taken aback. I was like, seven?
I mean, there weren't seven Revenge of the Nerds.
Thank God.
There
should have been.
I know.
All right. I'm getting an answer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or a tap.
We'll say my name. We'll check in with Kane Hodder.
All right. And the game show participants?
Not a horror franchise.
Mm.
And they were pumping these out, and they are not good movies, but I think I saw most of them growing up. This would be the Police Academy films. And that would be one, Bubba Smith.
That's right. One team will be receiving points, and the correct answer is Moses Hightower from the Police Academy movies. Bubba Smith. Yeah, number one overall pick. And I was going to go the Merlin Olsen route because I'm not too embarrassed to admit that I've seen every episode of Little House on the Prairie about four times. So, but I don't think Merlin Olsen was drafted that high, but I'd have to go back and look. But anyway, all right. Well, we've reached the end of halftime and the lead is just slightly bigger now. The game show participants is at 325 points. The Oddities at 200 points. Today's third quarter will be David versus Goliath.
David versus Goliath. This quarter will consist of three pairs of questions, one easier, David, and one harder, Goliath. After hearing both questions, the teams will pick one of the two questions to answer, either David or Goliath. Each David question is worth 25 points, and each Goliath question is worth 50 points.
David v. Goliath, question one. David, by round, who is the latest quarterback drafted to win a Super Bowl, getting selected in the 17th round, 200th pick overall, and winning Super Bowl I and II? Goliath, by overall pick number, who is the latest quarterback to win a Super Bowl, getting selected 227th overall?
David, we will check in.
All right. Game show participants has checked in. The Oddities, you get to talk this out.
Bart Starr, obviously, is the David. I'm just trying to think of super. I mean, Brady, I know, is like 199. So,
yeah, that's
six rounder. So
yeah.
Obviously not him. So,
Hasselbeck, Hasselbeck went to one, didn't win one. He was like a late six, but
yeah,
obviously didn't win.
I mean, McMahon had to have been drafted higher than that, right?
Yeah, I would think.
Because he was pretty good at BYU.
I was thinking about Mark Rippon, but I just don't really know when he was drafted.
yeah. Or was Jay Schrader? Did he win one for the now Commanders as well?
The Redacted, as I called him in the last episode I recorded.
Yeah. I mean, was Doug Williams drafted?
Yeah, he was drafted. Yeah, he was drafted by Tampa Bay.
I just don't know that with any confidence that we can realistically.
Yeah, I would need an additional 10 minutes and I think I could get there like by going back through it all. But with this limited time, we might as well just take the points and move on. Live to fight another day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we'll check in the David Bart Starr.
All right. And game show participants.
This is where writing trivia comes in handy because I'm almost positive that I've seen this in looking up something else. And also if the Goliath is correct, it's a guy that I have gotten wrong on this very podcast before, and I don't want him to turn into my own personal Eddie George. So we are going to check in with the Goliath of Brad Johnson.
Both teams will be receiving points. Yeah. So Bart Starr was the obvious David, won the first two Super Bowls, and Brad Johnson, I think it was 92. I should have written this down. Was drafted originally by the Vikings in back then it was more than seven rounds. I think it was probably the ninth round he was selected and then made his way to Tampa Bay and eventually won the Super Bowl. So that is correct. It is Brad Johnson. So some points all around.
Yeah, I that was one of the things I said when Matt was like, you know, pretty sure I've seen this as Brad Johnson. I said he was a late round pick for Minnesota. So
well done. All right. Question number two of David V. Goliath. So just for a reference, a 5x5 game in the NBA is when a player records at least 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 blocks, and 5 steals in the same game. Okay? For David, on February 23rd of this year, who became only the second NBA rookie to record a 5x5 game, posting at least 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, and 5 blocks? Goliath, in 2001... who became the first and only other rookie to have a 5x5 game? Earlier the same year, he won the Big 12 Player of the Year.
We're going to check in.
All right. The oddities have checked in. Game show participants, it's yours to talk out.
Well,
I think we're pretty sure that the David has to be Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
So now the question is, can we figure out the Goliath?
Yeah. And I'm just trying to rack my brain for Big 12 players that were rookies in 2000, 2001, thereabouts.
Big 12 Player of the Year.
Yeah. Talked about Rafe LaFrentz on this podcast.
I'm not sure I have any real beat on this one.
I don't think so either. I think we check in the David for Wemby.
Agreed.
All right, let's do that. Checking in the David for Victor Wembanyama.
All right. And the oddities, what'd you come up with?
I think both of us were like agonizing over this. Cause I remember when the David is Wemby, when that came up, that they talked about the other guy who had been the only rookie. And it took me a second. And Marcus and I were both putting our heads in our hands. And I messaged him like, it's the guy who played point guard at Iowa State. And I'm like, Marcus Fizer kept coming into my head. And I'm
I was like Iowa State, Marcus Fizer was the first thing that came up. Yep. And I was like, no, it can't be him. And then I was like, I know that draft pretty well. That's the Kwame Brown draft, Tyson Chandler, Pau Gasol, Dasana Diop. Like, and I was like, I told Mark, I was like, I just need a minute. I was like going through it in my head. And then the name finally came up. We were both sitting here, heads and hands, and I was like, oh God, Iowa State, Indiana Pacer legend. We're checking in with the Goliath, Jamal Tinsley.
Both teams are receiving points. Yeah, when I saw this, I was pretty shocked. I mean, it can't be that common for any guard. And he was only probably 6'2 to get 5 blocks in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have been guarding somebody like Muggsy. But anyway, yeah. So there you go. It was Jamal Tinsley and yeah, so points all the way around. Good job.
It's such a weird draft too, because it had like guys who were like really brief, like pretty good, like Mehmet Okur was in that draft, Gilbert Arenas, Gerald Wallace, and Zebo. I'm pretty sure he was that draft. I think it was just an interesting draft, and then you had like Troy Murphy getting drafted, and guys, and Michael Bradley, guys you don't know. It was a gross draft.
Okay, so question number three of David V. Goliath. Now that everybody knows what the 5x5 games are, what Hall of Famer owns the record for most 5x5 games, doing so 6 times from 1987 to 1993 while playing for Houston? Goliath, who's the only other player to have more than one 5x5 game in the NBA, completing 3 such games between 2003 and 2006, and also became the first pure forward to lead the NBA in blocks in 2005.
We're checking in.
All right. The oddities have checked in. Game show participants, you have about a minute.
Okay. We were getting somewhere. We got the David out of the way with Hakeem. The Goliath, mid-2000s forwards known for their defense. I threw out KG, but that doesn't feel like a Goliath answer.
And I don't think, to be honest, I don't think he actually has ever had a full 5x5. I don't think he ever had quite that many assists typically. And even 5 blocks, you know, he would have some like pretty impressive blocks, but that's a super well-rounded game. And that's where my brain was going. I know that a lot of these other names that been tossed around weren't Euros, but I mean, this is a very European centric kind of basketball, right? Where you're well-rounded in everything.
Sure.
So that's where my brain was wanting to go. And then,
okay. And so the name that I, if we're thinking Euro, then the name that I thought of that I know he made some all defenses in the mid 2000s was Andrei Kirilenko.
I like that a lot when you'd sent that like that. Okay. He was definitely a guy who, you know, he had good enough, hops to block, and he was a really well-rounded player. So,
right. If you're feeling like you want to go for it, we've got a little bit of a lead. So
we do, you know, we do,
we can risk it. I don't know the math, but we could probably risk it and still potentially
we're still in
be
the lead
ahead.
If we get it wrong.
Right. So yeah. Do you want to go for it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. We will check in the Goliath with Andrei Kirilenko.
All right. And the oddities, what did you have?
So I started with who won the 2005 NBA championship. Because, it's Hakeem David, but we need points. And Marcus started talking about Gerald Wallace. And then it was like, wait, no, the Pistons won. And then both of us, our eyes just went really big. And we're like, Tayshaun Prince, he did a lot of stuff for those Pistons teams. So
he was on a bunch of all NBA defensive teams. Now the problem is I I'll say this because I sent it to Mark after you guys said Andrei Kirilenko. I was like, that's a really good answer.
Yep.
And he probably was more offensively inclined within that offense at that time. So the assists would make more sense, I think. But I don't know. I like Tayshaun Prince as an answer. And yeah, like Mark said, we're trying to get some points. So we checked in the Goliath with Tayshaun Prince.
Well, one team will be receiving points. So first of all, obviously, David is Hakeem Olajuwon. But the Goliath is Kirilenko.
That was
a really good pull. And if you look
back, that's a great pull.
If you look back at the seasonal leaders in blocks, it's like Dikembe, and then Sean Bradley, and then Camby, and then Mourning, and then Theo Ratliff, Ben Wallace, and then out of nowhere there's Andrei Kirilenko. So yeah, and he's listed as like, I don't remember him playing small forward as much. I mean, I remember him more as a power forward. But anyway, yeah, good pull, guys. Really, really nicely done.
Yeah, it was just the only thought I had is that Tayshaun probably, I don't know if you'd consider him a pure forward, because I think sometimes there'd be times where he'd play the two.
Yeah, he'd play the two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking about two guys that truly, like, I feel like would be even better in today's game because they're those guys that can guard 1 through 5. Like,
yes, yes.
Sure. Like right now, Tayshaun Prince and Andrei Kirilenko would be making crazy money.
Yes.
They incredible. Were like exactly what you want in the game.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No question. 100% spot on. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the third quarter, and we've got a growing lead, unfortunately, but the game show participants is up to 450 points. The oddities are at 275, still mathematically possible. That will bring us to the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter, known as Put Your Fours Up. This quarter consists of four categorized questions that teams will wager up to 100 points each, not to exceed their current point total.
All right, I get a little lazy on my categories and I went back to the well. So question number one is not really a David question. Question number two is a little bit of a David question. Question number three, more of a David question. And question number four, definitely a David question. So question number one, not really a David question, will be NFL. Question two, a little bit of a David question, NBA. Question three, more of a David question, also NFL. And question four, definitely a David question, is, let's see. Let's call it sports geography. Big four sports geography.
Oh, is this the one that you thought I was going to steal from you last episode?
Yes, yes, it is. And that's why I had to use it now. So it's now time for the teams to place their wagers.
We'd like to take a minute to invite you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BenchwarmersTP. We also have a Facebook group for fans of the pod called The Bench. Join us there to comment on the latest episodes and share cool sports facts and trivia. If you'd be willing to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher, we'd greatly appreciate the support so that other people may find this podcast. Thanks.
All right, now that the wagers are in, on to the questions. Question number one, not really a David question. Nice and simple. What's the only NFL franchise to never have consecutive winning seasons?
We'll check in, David.
All right. Game show participants has checked in. The oddities. I'll give you about a minute.
If he's giving us a minute, my only problem is I feel like when Brunel was there, they had strung together a couple of good years.
I know they went that first, I think it was the first year, right? Them and Carolina both made it the first year to the championship game.
Yeah.
Jags lost the Patriots.
Then we don't hate your Atlanta theory though, too.
Atlanta is all over the place. Like, but I mean, they had Matt Ryan for those years. They had to have been over 500 despite losing. I mean, they lost the year before that. The year before they blew the 28-3 lead, they lost to the Packers in the playoffs.
I mean, are we overthinking this? Is this Houston?
No, Texans. No, Texans were. They won the Patriots beat them like 3 or 4 years in a row in the playoffs in the early 2010s. They were in the wild card. That was when the Colts were good and they were in the same division. Kind of towards the end of Manning.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel good about Jacksonville, then
I think I mean, Carolina makes sense too. I don't think it's the Texans. I'm almost positive they were in the playoffs. Like many years in a row. I feel better about the Jags because they made the AFC Championship game in 2015, 2016, somewhere around there. One of the years the Patriots beat them. The Jags were up 24-14. And then I think they Bortles after that. So I say we check in with the Jags. Four. How many points, Marcus?
69 points.
All right. And game show participants, what'd you have?
I'm thankful for Mark because his poo-pooing the idea that it's the Texans makes my answer feel that much stronger. We did not go with the Jacksonville Jaguars because I feel like they've been over 500 the last two seasons. I think I can't
barely
100%
right.
Remember, but I think you're right. So my initial thought, because I chatted this to Josh, but I wrote a flop turn and river about this team that I ended up not using. So I have looked at their wiki semi recently. And so I think this is the Carolina Panthers. You know, I think they've got the Super Bowl appearances, but they don't have any sort of sustained playoff success. So I think this is the Panthers. So that's what we checked in with for 25 points.
One team will be receiving points. I'm going to have to get in. I'm going to have to break in and see Taco's sort of sheet of questions that he might use, so I know what not to ask. But it is the Panthers. And actually, the Jaguars, when they first came to the league, it must have been the mid 90s. They got good in a big hurry. And I think they had like three seasons in a row where they won at least 11 games. So it was definitely not the Jaguars. But yes, it is in fact the Panthers. Okay. We will move quickly on to question number two because we don't need to say the score. So a little bit of a David question. Not surprisingly, Dell and Steph Curry have the most combined three-pointers for a father-son duo in NBA history. However, who were the only father-son duo to both be in the top 50 for three-pointers made all time?
Okay, we'll check in.
All right, game show participants has checked in. I'm going to need an answer from the oddities pretty fast here.
Well, we have an answer, sort of. I don't know. Either of us feel good about it right now, but yeah, just trying to think of father-son duos where the father had to have played, I would think, in the 90s time frame.
Yeah.
And the kid is somewhat current.
Well, and at least had an established career. It can't be somebody in the past couple of seasons. It's got to be somebody who's been in the league for a while.
Yeah. So we've been
because I imagine both of these guys are probably low on the list. I don't imagine there's one like super high and then there's one that's they're probably both just inside that number.
Yep.
And I like your answer. I mean, and in fact, today, definitely not because I gamble on the NBA, but they did mention that he hit the most today. He passed his most threes made in his career is Tim Hardaway Jr. And he shoots. That's all he does, basically. So, and, you know, Tim Hardaway was very good for a long time. I don't truly remember him as like a straight up 3-point shooter, but I suppose it's possible that he hit enough that he's in there.
Yep. I think that's our best answer. So,
okay.
Checking in with Tim Hardaway or
Hardaway's.
The Hardaway's for Marcus. How many points?
Tim's Hardaway.
For how many points, Marcus?
69 points.
Nice. All right. And game show participants, what you guys have?
That was very similar to what we were thinking is, you know, trying to think of. So one has to be either current or very recent, but, you know, a shot enough. And granted, in this era, it probably doesn't take long if you actually have a decent percentage to get up that list. And his dad would have had to have, yeah, played probably like in the 90s, like starting right around the 90s. And that was the same. The names that came up, because I was like, Junior isn't great, but he's playing in the correct era, and he does shoot a lot of threes. So he obviously makes enough of them, probably. And I'm guessing his dad is not much over or much below 50 on the list, you know, however which way you want to say that, above or below, right? He's probably floating pretty close. I remember him being a pretty dangerous outside shooter, but it was also an era where there weren't as many people doing it that often. So not as often as we know now. But yes, we also checked in with the Tim Hardaways for 26 points.
All right. Both teams are receiving their points. Well done. Well sussed out. And everybody hit it exactly right. I don't really have much more to say, except for to say that what's funny about this is you guys are right that both Tim Hardaway Sr. and Tim Hardaway Jr. Are not really that far up the list. Tim Hardaway Sr., but they combined have about 3,200 threes. Just to give you an idea of how much having Steph in your family helps, those guys have 3,200. Steph and his dad have almost 5,300.
How much does Steph have alone?
Way ahead.
Steph's over 4,000 alone.
Yeah, 5,100 for Steph, 100 for Doug.
Right, exactly. This is like the Wayne and his brother, you know, Hank Aaron and Tommy Aaron, Christy and Henry Matheson, right? It's all of those. Yeah,
Roger, Sylvester and Frank Stallone in box office.
Right. Roger Clemens and what's his son's name?
Mark and Donnie Colby. Wahlberg.
Cody. Yeah. Cody Clemens. Right.
Well, wasn't that one of the strikeout questions?
Yes, it was.
Cody came in and struck out one.
Yes.
He struck out Shohei Ohtani.
There you go.
Cody Clemens struck out Shohei Ohtani. That's.
I was busy worrying about his gambling. I mean, wait, what?
All right. Question number three, more of a David question. Only one running back in NFL history has rushed for at least 2,500 yards for three different franchises. And as we record this, today is this former player's 55th birthday. So happy birthday. Well, you'll find out what his name in a minute, but yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we'll check in.
All right, the oddities have checked in. Game show participants, you have 2 minutes.
Two minutes? I
don't hate that answer.
Okay. Yeah, you know, Josh did the math because I'm not off of spring break, so I'm not doing math yet. I'm not contractually obligated to do math until 8:30 tomorrow morning. So we're looking around 90 or 91 draft. So 90s into the 2000s as a career.
Yeah.
And kind of the name that popped into my head as a Niner fan of somebody who was successful for multiple franchises in the 90s and early 2000s was Ricky Waters with Niners, Eagles, Seahawks.
And I don't hate that, especially with Marcus feeling pretty confident in his answer.
Right. we can argue whether he's a Niners legend or a Seahawks legend later.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with it.
All right. Then we will check in Ricky Waters for 25 points.
All right. And the oddities, what do you guys have?
Yes. I'll give Mark all the credit in the world because Mark... We were kind of sussing out the time frame, just kind of doing that. And then he just said it's got to be around 91. And then just across the chat, he says Ricky Waters question mark. And I go, yes, I go, because he definitely had, he probably had the least rushing yards in San Francisco. I know he had, I think he had 3,000 yard seasons in Philly. And then I know for a fact that he had 3,1200 yard seasons with the Seahawks. And that's when Mark was like, I don't remember him on the Seahawks. And I go, really? I was like, that is right in the sweet spot. But yeah, he had 3,1200 yard seasons. So that's why he's Seahawks legend Ricky Waters. And we'll check in with that for 69 points.
Well, both teams are receiving points. And we have to give this one to Marcus because he had over 4,000 yards in Seattle. Then he had just under 3,800 in Philly, and then 2,840 yards for the 49ers. So
he only, has a Super Bowl ring for one team.
That's true. That's the 49ers. That's true.
So. His quarterbacks in Seattle were 42-year-old Warren Moon, Glenn Foley, and Trent Dilfer. Okay.
Elite.
Glenn Foley.
Hey, I think
he lives in a van down by the river.
One of those has a Super Bowl ring on his finger, right?
He sure does.
All right. And happy birthday, Ricky Waters. Today is his 55th birthday. All right. Question number four, definitely a David question, or Big Four sports adjacent, I guess. What U.S. state that is home to no Big Four teams borders states with the most total number of Big Four teams?
We're going to check in.
The oddities have checked in for the last time tonight. The game show participants, you have about 30 seconds.
Okay.
So then the question is, would New Mexico have more than 16?
Right. So currently, just to catch the listenership up, our current leader in the clubhouse is Iowa with 16 teams bordering.
Yeah.
So let's see. Utah's got, so if we're thinking New Mexico, Utah's got one, Colorado's got four, Arizona's got four.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's got one. So then Texas has two plus two.
They have three in one of them. They have three basketball.
Yes.
And one, so they have eight themselves.
They have eight themselves. So that would put it. That would put them up. That would put it at 18. Yeah.
Should we go New Mexico?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, we're gonna check in New Mexico for 25 points.
All right, and that brings us back to the oddities for the last time tonight. What'd you have?
Love geography questions, David. One of my favorite things is geography, especially United States. So I immediately thought of a somewhat that southeastern state that does not have a sports team but borders a lot of states, and that is Arkansas. If I am correct, I have Arkansas bordering Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Louisiana, and Tennessee. I could be wrong. And we had something like 19 teams in those five states. So that's what we checked in with, was Arkansas. For Marcus,
68 points.
Well, it was a valiant effort, but neither team has nailed the answer here.
Oh,
so the correct answer is actually Kentucky. Kentucky borders Missouri. Gross. With Missouri with four, Tennessee with three, Ohio with six, Indiana with two, Illinois with five, for a total of 20.
I forgot about Indiana. I had those. That was my other one, was Kentucky, which I only came up with.
I love it when they dump the question right because they get it wrong. No,
right?
No,
not at all.
I don't think it's a dumb question, David.
I like it.
Maybe we hit the four. And you talked about the three of the four, maybe. I don't know.
All right. Our game has come to an end. And here are the final scores. The oddities finished with a very respectable 301 points. But our clipboard captains of the game, who are receiving the coveted Justin Fields Award with 501 points, are the game show participants. All right. Well, I know no one liked the last question, but other than that, Mark. Hey, Mark, you got anything to talk about before we get out of here?
I did like the last question, David. It's okay. I just forgot about Indiana, and I forgot that Missouri borders Kentucky. So Kentucky, that was our coin. Those are the two that we talked about. So
interesting.
But anyways, I play Apocalypse Sports Trivia, which I really enjoy. It's an online, like, Learned League style sports trivia game. They play 2-week-ish fortnights, 6 times a year. And the newest fortnight starts tonight. So that doesn't help anybody if this comes out in 4 weeks, but there will be one starting in early June. All that to be said, myself and Trevor Hoag of Benchwarmers fame have started a podcast every day where we talk about the daily Apocalypse Sports Trivia questions. So we kind of stole the format from a podcast that we both enjoy called Learned Lag about Learned League questions. So every day at 9 o'clock at night, our podcast comes out during our fortnights. The podcast is called Talk Apocalypse. So instead of Apocalypse, it's Talk Apocalypse. Available on all your favorite streaming podcast apps. We have a fun time talking about it, and there's some off-season friendlies that we talk about sometimes. And it's a really fun sports trivia game. It's a little bit different format because you have kind of all day to think about the questions, and so they're a little bit more challenging sometimes than like these. You know, you have 5 minutes to try and think of something. It's a fun game, and Trevor and I are having a lot of fun doing our podcast. I know Taco plays. He's in our Benchwarmers group. We have a special Benchwarmers private division.
Nice.
It's like myself, Trevor, Taco, Adrian Bias, Chris Shen, Mike Corey.
Whoa.
Ethan Metzger. I'm trying to think of who else. Taco, help me. Who else is it?
I don't remember. I don't know either.
It starts tonight, so
I just answer the questions and then get rid of it until the next day.
Well, it's great. Exactly. You're conveniently calling out all of our patrons, so I can
yeah.
use that to yeah. No, that sounds really fun. One of these days I might actually have to jump on that and I'll listen yeah. to your podcast.
Thank you, David. Great game. Josh, Taco, Marcus. Always a good time hanging out with you guys. And
yeah, Mark, yeah. thanks for coming on. As always, you're a great guest to have on, and it's good to have people who like to talk sports. So this was a ton of fun. So thank you, and thank you for your support for the podcast. So I will get us out of here. So on behalf of Josh and Taco and Marcus and the rest of the Benchwarmers who couldn't make it tonight, thank you for listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Till next time, we'll keep the bench warm.
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch! Stretch! Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes! Yeah!
Into deep left center for Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That great music you're listening to is by Justin Nozick. Thanks to him for producing that music for us. You've been listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Make sure to check us out on all of our social media. We are at Benchwarmers TP.